and welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today from the Philadelphia Museum of Art, we have the George D. Widener Director and CEO, Sasha Suda, and Audrey Hudson, the new Kathleen C. Sherrod Deputy Director for Learning and Engagement. And ladies, welcome.
So great to be with you today.
Thanks for having us.
I have been looking forward to this conversation for quite some time. We're recording this in early to mid-December, and we're going to be talking about the fall exhibition right now, The Time Is Always Now, Artists Reframe the Black Figure. That's going on now through February 9th. You've got some exciting news, though, that brings young people to the museum more easily, and that's a busing program. But before we even begin with that, Sasha, would you start us off with that overview of what is the Philadelphia Museum of Art?
With great pleasure. So the Philadelphia Museum of Art has served this city for 148 years. So the same year that we'll be celebrating the semi-cinquennial in 2 years, we'll be celebrating the 150th birthday of the Philadelphia Museum of Art. And this museum, which is at the top of the parkway, at the sort of zenith of what everyone calls the Rocky Steps, is home to 270,000 works of art. And those 270,000 works of art are held in the public trust. So what we do is we care for works of art, we display works of art, we present and invite people to experience those works in a way that really brings meaning to their lives. And the museum has been here for that purpose, as I said, for quite some time. And it has an incredibly dedicated staff, everyone from photographers who document the collection to curators who help present the collection to educators and interpreters who make sure that we connect with our audiences, and then all of the other host of functions that we couldn't operate without, from building engineers to visitor services folks and those who keep our doors open and lights on. So we are a little bit of a city that cares for objects that have survived through time, and that I think creates a home for ideas that artists have that we couldn't even imagine today, and will be the home to them tomorrow and many years into the future. So as far as I'm concerned, the Philadelphia Museum of Art is a magical place, a bit of a fantasy planet where we have the absolute unique privilege of caring for and sharing with audiences what art really and artists do, which is, in my mind, maybe the most important thing in life.
The museum is a tourist destination. This is a must-see for people actually all over the world. The collection is amazing. You've got some fabulous pieces that really do draw people to Philadelphia for that particular reason.
Absolutely. I think one work which is truly unique within the United States and only one of three versions in the world are Van Gogh's sunflowers. You know, I personally grew up in Toronto, Canada, and would visit my grandmother almost every weekend. And she had a reproduction of the Philadelphia sunflowers in her guest room. And I have to say, growing up with that and now coming to work and seeing it every day, it's just one of the thousands of objects that we have that have international renown and that draw people from around the world to experience them.
You do have some amazing blockbuster shows. Sometimes the ones that are touring, and then sometimes that you can draw from the collection to present something that is unique and a new way of seeing an artist because of your holdings. The collection is so vast.
Absolutely. Some years ago, for example, we were able to do an entire Picasso exhibition from our holdings because we just have so many works, incredible paintings, of course, some sculpture, but we have this incredible collection of works on paper. That's drawings and prints, pastels and watercolors. And those are things that we can't always show because they're not light fast. They are sensitive to light. And so when we did that exhibition, I think it really blew people's minds that every single one of those objects came from our collection. And so we are, in many ways, a storeroom for things that people couldn't even imagine they had such access to.
And we are so fortunate here in Philadelphia that you also can host and bring in shows exhibitions that we wouldn't see otherwise. And right now, the one that I alluded to earlier, The Time Is Always Now, this started with the National Portrait Gallery in London. And can we chat a little bit about what the exhibition is? It's running through February the 9th. It's got a kind of unique Americanism to it, so that it came from London, that the title comes from Baldwin, and one of its themes is a Dubois idea. So can we talk a little bit about what we see in the current fall exhibition?
Absolutely. And then I'll definitely would love to hand it over to Audrey, who has a unique perspective also in terms of how folks are connecting with this show. So this exhibition certainly came to us as a proposal from the National Portrait Gallery in London. And the reason that it was so attractive to us was the way in which exactly you said it connects to American audiences, and that connection to Dubois, which is, you know, inextricably linked to Philadelphia, was just seemed like an incredible opportunity. And the reality is that the show, which, you know, reframes the Black figure, is a show that is not just unique to an American context. And what we were really excited about was that it was a broader conversation about the African diaspora and the ways in which they're working beyond this continent. And so one of the very unique things about this exhibition, and there are many, is that it has pulled together this amazing kind of pan-continental American, but also European diasporic history and narrative. And there are, of course, narratives there. There's more than one, but there are also parallels, which I think are being presented here in concert for the first time. And so an artist like Arthur Timothy, who's London-based, or an artist like Jonathan Lyndon Chase, who's Philadelphia born and raised and still working here. These are people who did not meet in art school, who are not seeing each other in the art world circuit, but who are coming together here in the Philadelphia Museum of Art for the first time and creating a really meaningful conversation. And there's just so many artists like that within the show, brought together by Echo Ashun and Erica Battle, the curators, to have a truly kind of unique and first time conversation across two separate continents. So I think that's what makes this uniquely Philadelphian, but also, like our collection, one that speaks to what's happening in the world more broadly today.
I know that you've added some pieces for the Philadelphia exhibition. Audrey, if these are artists who do not collaborate or have not met each other or are not working in tandem or did not create these pieces for this particular exhibit, what's the connect? What's the theme behind it all that makes it seamless or makes it tell a story?
Well, I think the exact title, Reframing the Black Figure, right? Like, that is what draws all of these pieces together. And the curator, Echo Ashun, has done a beautiful job of bringing that out and teasing that out. I will reference a talk that we had. Echo Ashun was in conversation with two artists. They're at the top of their game, Thomas J. Price and Jordan Castile. They were doing a talk and they had never met. They had shown their works together previously, but had never met in person. So for them, and they also were admirers of each other's work. And so bringing them together in this exhibition is just what we do within learning and engagement and within curatorial, within the museum. It could only happen in a museum setting. And so to hear these two artists speak with the curator so eloquently and set in with such admiration for each other's works and the works of, there's 28 artists in the show, but speak to these works and the artists that they're showing with. I think that was a really, really beautiful moment to hear because you often think, oh, it's a group show. Everyone knows each other, but actually they don't, and their paths may not cross. Their works of art cross, so their souls cross together in their art, but they actually don't come together in person very often. So that was a really beautiful moment that brought together that it really encapsulated that coming together for an exhibition.
The youth of the artists, and I'm going to push this, some of them are my age, was kind of noticeable there too. A lot of them are millennial, I would say. And also, this is a worldwide exhibition, although I do have to point out that Baltimore's Amy Sherald is in this, and anyone in Philadelphia, of course, is a big fan, if not for the First Lady's portrait, Michelle Obama, but for the Sansom mural. So that's a name that we all recognize immediately here. How are the artists selected?
So it's a great question and one that I've talked with Echo about at length. I think that you can start to imagine some of that criteria after you spend some time in the show. And that would be Echo's prompt. But what I would say is, as we've hosted some conversations and had the opportunity to speak with him, it was not easy because right now, Black contemporary painters, especially figurative painters, are just, you know, there are so many incredible ones, and there is an incredible, appeal for their work. They're really leading the contemporary art world at this moment. And so one of the things that Echo shared with me, which I can really see throughout the show, is that you're looking not at these subjects, but you're looking with them. You know, there's a kind of a humility and an empathy of a painter who is seeing a peer, who is seeing someone with shared lived experience, and also who's championing the everyday. And that's one thing I really, really appreciate about the exhibition, and which has resonated with children who I've talked about it with. And that's that we've, in this show, found artists who monumentalize the everyday and celebrate the everyday. You know, you can call it the everyday hero. You can just call it, you know, people that you can relate to. And so Thomas Price, as an example, has created a 10-foot-tall bronze kind of goddess sculpture out of what I would describe as an everyday person, this beautiful woman dressed in contemporary fashion. I'm not dressed up in all kinds of regal garb and iconography that establishes her as more important than you, but the material, bronze, and the scale, 10 feet tall, tells you that the everyday and contemporary fashion is important and it is worth creating a legacy for. And I can tell you that when my daughter saw that sculpture for the first time, she said to me, "Mom, you're finally doing something really cool here." And you know, that is because we are trying to celebrate the everyday, and we are trying at the Philadelphia Museum of Art in this part of our history, you know, this chapter, hoping that people come in and do see something of their own lives on our walls and in our vitrines, and also something not only they can relate to, but aspire to, right? Yeah. We all love to come in and see a great portrait of Henry VIII, but you know, going back to my daughter, she would love to talk about that work with me for a limited time. But boy, she luxuriated in taking in that bronze sculpture by Price. So I just put that out there to say that that's, I think, one of the key pieces that Echo so eloquently threaded through the show.
One of the things in the mission statement that really drew my eye was that the Philadelphia Museum of Art is a storyteller, and we welcome everyone to be a part of that story. And that means all the communities and young people at the same time. And are installations like that intentional to draw younger kids? When I was a child and I would visit the museum, everything was flat on a wall. Maybe if you were lucky, there was a reproduction of the Thinker or Degas, the little ballerina, you know, but it was flat. And these pieces sort of are, I don't want to say accessible, but maybe that is the word. They are accessible. And I don't know if it's because they are so tactile, but there was a question in there somewhere.
You know what? I am, you know, thinking about this exhibition and the work that museums are doing, there really is a push, especially at the PMA, to invite more folks that have not been perhaps represented previously. So Black, Indigenous, people of color, having that representation in the museum really, really does matter. Speaking as, I know that we're on radio, but speaking as a person of color, like that really does matter. And given that, like this exhibition, being in Philadelphia, which is 39, I'm new to the city, but it's 39% African-American, to have this exhibition shown and to see yourself represented in this monumental space of the Philadelphia Museum of Art is absolutely special. I've heard it over and over with the community groups that we've been working with. You know, we've done a lot of work with and collaboration with Black Star Film. I'm going to take this moment to plug. We've got this aliveness program that's happening. It's called Seeding Joy, and it's a collaboration with two partners. It's the Museum of Black Joy and Drexel Writers Room, and that's happening on the last Saturday of the month for the duration of the exhibition. And it's an interactive workshop. You're not only looking at the exhibition, but you're discussing it. And there's discursive moments. There's also poetic moments. And there's also a visual moment where you're drawing or interpreting the exhibition for you, for your lived experiences, because everyone has a different lived experience. So I think in those different ways, yes, we are bringing people into the museum more, and with the engagement aspect. So with these talks, these artist talks that we do, we have a family festival that's coming up, and it will be focused on and celebrating. The time is always now. So it's again, it's a different demographic. It's younger audiences. It's families to come in. It's multi-generational. So having these different entry points into understanding art, into understanding a museum, into feeling a space and or crafting a space of belonging in a museum is the work that we're really pushing in the museum.
I like that term, entry points. Just that, mm-hmm. that opportunity, the door opens just a little bit to let you in and become mm-hmm. engaged, and then you're in the room with it, and it's a wonderful thing. And one of the things that for this particular exhibit that you've introduced was free busing, which doesn't sound like much, but free busing for the School District of Philadelphia, and then the tri-state area, actually Title I schools are eligible for this, and that again will open the doors to a lot more kids for that first opportunity to see, one, an exhibit that might reflect them, and two, get them into the museum to begin with to see art that they wouldn't be accustomed to, or maybe art that doesn't seem accessible.
Exactly. And that was the impetus of this. It was, you know, Sasha and I in conversation, it was a quick one. It was almost like, of course we're going to do this. Free busing. That's what we should do. That's what we want, not should, but we want to do, because you know, we want, you know, copious amounts of people to see this exhibition, and we want young people to see this exhibition. So being able to implement that was really a special, and I think a really pivotal moment for us as a museum, listening to people that actually, like, the community wants to be part of the museum, and we listen. It's like, okay, we got this. We are going to open up our doors even more. So it's, but I want to mention that it's busing, it's free busing. It's also a free guided tour with our excellent such knowledgeable educators. And then there is also we've waived the cost for chaperones. So we know that, you know, schools must have certain number of chaperones and we want adults to see the show as well. So they are also welcome to come in. And it's all on our website, of course, for booking. But I do want to say that this is an excellent, excellent problem to have, but we've actually had to open up more spots to fill the need. So it's obvious that, you know, we listened, people are speaking to us. It is and actually taking up this opportunity. So it's a really, really moment of pride, I think, for the museum and for kids too, to come in and see the exhibition.
And I'll only add to that, you know, obviously people do walk up and buy tickets, but we also do online ticket sales, which tells us a lot about who's excited to see the show. And so far, we've had people buy tickets from 44 different states and from 26 countries. And so, you know, this is a show that's definitely relevant for the Philadelphia audience, and that's incredibly important to us. But like the collection, like the Philadelphia Museum of Art generally, we want the kids here in the city to engage with art that is significant throughout the world. And what we're also saying is these stories, your stories, are significant throughout the world. And so just to name a few countries where we've had folks come and buy tickets in advance of seeing the show: China, Costa Rica, Czech Republic, Uruguay, New Zealand, Netherlands, Mexico, Ecuador, India, Ireland, Italy, Japan. So, this is, these are folks that could be buying tickets just to see the permanent collection, which in and of itself is a destination, but they're adding on the ticket to see The Time Is Always Now. And I think that that's really exciting. And that's in large part what we're trying to do, is demonstrate that the Philadelphia Museum of Art is of Philadelphia for the world.
If we want to visit the museum, how would you suggest a visit, especially if I've got a family? And I know that sounds simple, but to make the most of a trip.
Well, I think the first thing to mention is that we are open 5 days a week. We're closed Tuesdays and Wednesdays. However, those Tuesdays and Wednesdays, we are open to school children and to classes who want to see The Time Is Always Now. So, Tuesdays and Wednesdays, the VIPs of Philadelphia's art world are school kids, and they get those galleries to themselves. If you'd like to visit as a family throughout our open days, the important thing to remember is that we are free, 18 and under, and we have been for a very long time. So you can either come with kids and budget just for parents or guardians who join those kids. And we also have a pay what you wish Sunday, which is every third Sunday of the month. So one can plan around that. We also have daily highlights tours, which are available on our website. So those, in my mind, are a great orientation tool. And then we always have all kinds of programming going on. So I'm going to kick it over to Audrey because that's her expertise, and she's been working really hard with her amazing team to create amazing experiences for folks who come in.
Yeah, thank you. So on the on the Sundays when you do come in, there's all that we have an art kids studio. So you can get messy, you can get creative with your children when you come, and then go into the museum and then take a break and back and forth. So there are those moments where we know are really important for families that come. We also have books. We have booklets that you can get at the front at visitor services that kind of it's for kids, and it guides you through the museum to look at works of art, and it offers questions and different entry points again to see the art from a young person's perspective, but then also integrated with the adult perspective. And then we do also have tours. We have our guide program that delivers tours in The Time Is Always Now, which is that's for adults, but kids can join as well too. I want to say one thing about about The Time Is Always Now. One more thing about The Time Is Always Now. But as you walk through, because I know everyone's going to go to the exhibition, so as you walk through the exhibition, be sure to notice there are three themes, and be sure to notice at the end there's this Henry Taylor piece that American African American painter, and with his very good friend Noah Davis, and that's what closes the show. You see that piece, and it is around the Kevin Quashie's term of Black aliveness, and this Black aliveness, and it's just joy. And what are they doing? They are sitting. They are homies. They are hanging out, and it is just the epitome just of being as a Black person, as an African American person, and enjoying each other's company. And that's how the show closes. And then there's also a reflection room, which we have after you exit the exhibition. There's a reflection room, and you can, we've had hundreds and hundreds of people respond to how they felt about the exhibition, or there's prompted questions that folks can respond to, and they write their, their hearts come out on these pieces of paper. and we've been collecting them and we will do something with them, but they leave it. And it's a response for people to see. Sometimes they draw, sometimes they're inspired to collaborate and draw something together, or often write, but it is this response and reflective moment so that you don't just leave the exhibition. You actually have a moment to sit down and take it in, because there's a lot to take in the exhibition.
That connectedness with the patron and the museum itself, that they want a little dialogue with you, that's part of membership too, is it not? As members of the museum do enjoy lectures, they enjoy special opportunities which connect them with the museum. I do want to talk a little bit about membership very quickly. And disclosure here, I've been a member, well, ever since I've been in Philadelphia, and it's actually a gift I give to people when they come to the city.
Well, that's an amazing gift, not just to those who are the beneficiaries, but also to us. So thank you for helping to grow our committed community of members. We really think that membership and our membership community is the heart and soul of our success as an institution. It creates, of course, financial stability for the organization and really supports all of the work that we do. And we have been working really hard to kind of keep up with the changing ways in which people want to engage as members. Of course, everything changed during the pandemic. We went fully virtual. And now you can find on our website that we are slowly transitioning to be a hybrid program institution with talks both in person and online, and simultaneously both of those things. And we also have an incredible offer of different benefits that allow people to join for various celebrations, including exhibition openings, but also every day the kind of the benefit of our members lounge, where there's free coffee and water and the opportunity to just sit and relax between visits to different galleries. And so for membership, you know, that's something that we work hard to make a valuable thing for the folks that join us in that relationship. But we also acknowledge that without our members, we'd be really lost. And we really benefit from their feedback and all of their ideas about how we could make membership more exciting as, you know, as generations shift and the world evolves around us. Audrey, what are your thoughts on membership and its importance to building a community of folks, young and older?
I think, you know, membership speaks to the dedication of a place, right? And I think with the membership, there's always room for growth. There's always room to add, you know, different types and different levels. Again, those entry points for members. Members are absolutely important, and they are, you know, they are a lot of folks are longtime members, and we really, really appreciate that. They come to our events, sometimes all of the events for one exhibition, which is so wonderful to see. And there's also opportunity for people to step into those memberships and, you know, become lifelong members or yearly members of the museum. So I think it's really important to feel a sense of connection and belonging at the museum with those memberships.
Friday nights at the museum.
Oh, yes. Friday nights. Oh, my goodness, Sasha. Friday night lounges. Yes. We have, and this is also another initiative. It is half price on Fridays. It is a Friday night lounge. So we've created this moment of, it's like, come after work. Just have a drink with us. Listen to some music. Relax. Enjoy. Make the museum your spot to go with friends or alone or meet someone at the museum. But having it as a meeting place and opening up and really creating a relaxed environment in the space. A lot of times we find that people come to the Friday nights and they're like, oh, this is what a museum could be. And we're like, yes, yes, it can be this. And yes, it is. And so then they come back or they'll, you know, they'll bring friends or family alongside with that. You know, on Friday nights, we have an offering of food and beverages, often music, art making. So it's really, really quite a nice night out.
And the galleries are open, so you can enjoy that. You can either sit on the stairs, enjoy a performance, have a drink, or again, you can tour the galleries, and again, at a discounted price. And that's on Friday nights when you are open later. Otherwise, it's Thursday through Monday, and you're right there on the parkway, easy to find. And for more information about anything we've talked about today, philamuseum.org. Parting words?
The Philadelphia Museum of Art is here for Philadelphia and everyone else else who can come and join us. We've thrown the doors wide open. There's something for everyone, and we hope that people will take us up on our invitation. And for the month of December, as part of the Rocky Fest celebrations, people can come and take a selfie at the top of the steps with the Rocky sculpture, which was lent to the city of Philadelphia by Sylvester Stallone himself. And that, again, is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity this December. And of course, we hope people will keep running past the sculpture after they take the selfie and into the museum.
Come say hello.
And when you do, remember that right now, the current exhibition, the fall exhibition, is The Time Is Always Now, Artists Reframe the Black Figure. It's now through February 9th in the Dorrance Galleries. Again, remember for more information about everything we've talked about, philamuseum.org. My guests today, Sasha Suda, the George D. Widener Director and CEO of the Philadelphia Museum of Art, and Audrey Hudson, the new Kathleen C. Sherrod Deputy Director for Learning and Engagement. Again, more information always. philamuseum.org. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.